Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Good morning, everybody. For those who don't know me, my name is Paul. I'll be talking to you this morning. So today, we're going to talk about change. But not just any kind of change. We're going to talk about radical change. I mean the kind of change that makes people stop and say, whoa, what is up with you? The question is, why aren't more Christians today experiencing that kind of radical change? So this morning, I'm going to answer that question, and I'm going to describe the formula that the Apostle Paul gives us in order to experience this radical change and enabling us to discover our potential in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with grateful and thankful hearts. We just love you so much, and we thank you that you sent your Son to pay for our sins. Father, I pray this morning that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receive your message. And Lord, I just pray that you would take these mere words that I have and that you would fill them with your power and your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you an illustration to help explain why more Christians aren't experiencing this radical change in their lives. Has anyone heard of a TENS machine? Okay, well, it's an electronic device, and it's hooked up to a couple of electrodes, and you place these electrodes on your body in an area where you're experiencing pain. So I take them, I put them on my lower back all the time, and it works great. So what you do is you turn the machine on, and it starts sending an electrical pulse into your skin, into your nerves. And when you first turn it on, you got to start real slow because even at a low level, it stings. So what you do is you let it run for maybe 5-10 minutes or so until the sting wears off. It kind of goes away. And then you go back and you turn the dial up just a little bit more until that sting is back again. And then 10 minutes or so later, you don't feel it so much and you turn it up. And you go on and on and on and on until eventually you've brought this up to such a high level of intensity of electricity like what you wouldn't have been able to start with from the beginning. So the idea here is that the more you increase the electricity, the more desensitized your body becomes. And when you're done using it, you don't notice the pain so much, just numbness. So if I was to start the machine at 5 instead of at 1 and forget to bring it up slowly, I wouldn't be able to tolerate it. I would just drop to the floor. So what I'm saying here is that our society is like a big TENS machine, and it's been slowly and gradually desensitizing our society, which is characterized by outrageous and sinful behavior. It has become mainstream in our secular society. It has been increasing a negative current into our moral lives, and most of us don't even feel the sting anymore. Each generation bumps up the dial a notch, and year after year, the world is slowly becoming more provocative, more controversial, more belligerent, more twisted, and our society is crumbling because of it. It is obvious how desensitized the world around us has become. Were our morals and our family values this bad 50 years ago? I don't think so. And I bet if our great-grandparents were plucked out of their time and placed into the today, I think the culture shock would probably kill them. So, we've been so plugged into this negative current of the society, and it's desensitized our hearts and our minds, and it's left us powerless to change anything in our own power and our own strength. And this is why more Christians are not experiencing this kind of radical change today. Excuse me. So Paul offers us a formula for radical change. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24, it says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to put on and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, which is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. See, Paul gives us a three-step program that, when applied correctly, will bring you to your potential in Christ, and it'll enable you to effectively display Christ in the world. The Apostle Paul experienced this kind of radical change when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he says this radical change is a result of salvation, and it's imperative in order to live a life pleasing to God. So step one here, put off your old self. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. So let's think for a moment about our old selves. Remember the place we were in our hearts before we came to know the Lord? Remember the foolish ways of our old selves? See, Paul tells us to put off the old self as if it's a coat or something. Kind of like that leather jacket I used to wear here. Only I didn't put off that coat. I passed it down to my son, but we'll save that for another day. You see, God doesn't want us to just simply take it off and go hang it up in the closet like we still want to wear it. So, you know, if you still have your old self hanging up in your closet, I'm telling you that God wants you to go home and take it outside and burn it. That old self is dead. And yes, it is going to stink for a while. But have faith, because the new self has already taken residence in your heart, and he's ready to help you begin cleaning up the mess that the old self left behind. So step two, be made new in the attitudes of your minds. See, radical change begins in the mind, but our minds have been desensitized. We need to unplug ourselves from the TENS machine of society. Now, I don't mean we need to separate ourselves from society. I mean that we need to be able to distinguish ourselves from society. I mean that there should be a noticeable difference in the life of a believer in comparison to the life of a non-believer, primarily in the attitudes of your minds. But if our minds have been desensitized by the world, then we need to unplug our minds from whatever it is that is desensitizing us. And we need to plug our minds into prayer and the Word of God to regain our senses. So how do we unplug ourselves? We unplug ourselves by forsaking the patterns of this world, especially the ones that sting. And by choosing to display a better way to live in Christ. Just because the world says something is okay doesn't make it so. So rather than going along with the ways of the world, or even being tolerant of the darkness that is in the world, we should be testing everything against the Word of God and bring to light everything that stands against the Word. Then we'll be able to recognize the deceitful desires of our sinful nature, and we'll be able to resist them. See, God isn't going to force you to change. He wants to help you change. That means that you are going to have to be involved in this process. And the key to this transformation begins in the mind. So you need to change the way that you think. Yet, too many people are content to just be saved with no further commitment or obligation. See, they think that once they're saved, they don't really have to do anything more. And in a sense, they might be right, if indeed they actually are saved. Only God knows. See, one might say, if all my sins are forgiven, then why should I stop sinning? I can't lose my salvation. I know I'm going to heaven because Jesus saved me. Therefore, I don't have to change anything. Besides, we have enough radicals in here already. they can be the change in the world. I'll just sit back and pray for them. That ought to be enough. What kind of an attitude is that? Well, it's the kind of attitude that's going to get you burned. Let me tell you something. Speaking of the things we do with our lives after we are saved, Paul says, if it is burned up, we will suffer loss, but yet we'll be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. This way of thinking is futile and will not bring you to your potential in Christ. Consider again your former way of life for a moment, and consider how Jesus died on the cross so that we could be saved from the consequences of that former way of life. Jesus paid for all the sins of our lives at the cross. That means past sins, present sins, and the ones we haven't committed yet. They were all nailed to the cross with Christ. And there's nothing that we can ever do to earn it, and there's nothing we can ever do to deserve it, and there's nothing we can ever do to lose it. And because of that, we shouldn't be content to just be saved with no desire to respond any further. We should be overflowing with thankfulness out of sheer gratitude for the great mercy that he showed us. Listen, a bad attitude displays no gratitude, but a thankful attitude displays Christ. Okay? A bad attitude displays no gratitude, but a thankful attitude displays Christ. This means that a grateful heart and a thankful attitude will manifest itself in the life of a believer, helping the believer to walk in a way worthy of our calling, with complete humility, gentleness, patience, mutual forbearance, and love. So step three, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now that we have our hearts in the right place and our attitudes are in check, let us put on the new us and discover our potential in Christ. We need to remember who we are in Christ. We are a new creation. We are children of the living God. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit who guarantees our inheritance. We are the future residents of the New Jerusalem, and one day soon, Jesus will be coming to take us home. Paul had explained that as believers in Christ, we are the inheritors of the universe. We are so overwhelmingly loved by our Creator. We've been lavished with every sort of spiritual blessing. We've been raised up and we've been seated in the heavenlies at the side of our Redeemer. Not will be, but have been. So now he's admonishing us to act as if we believe that. Plug yourself into the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living inside us, and he is there to comfort us when we are hurting. He's there to teach us when we're listening, and he's there to guide us when we're following. And you can learn to recognize the Holy Spirit by the prompting he places in your heart, or by that still, small voice you hear when he wants you to do something or say something. I've heard it said that when God wants to hug someone, he uses our arms to do it. Or when he wants to extend a hand to someone, ours could be the hand that he uses. And he wants to smile at someone, it's our faces that they will see. Pray to God that he would speak to you through the Holy Spirit. And when you feel the prompting in your heart, then respond accordingly. Okay? So remember, God won't make you do anything. He'll only make a suggestion, but it's up to you to respond. So put your faith into action to discover your potential into Christ. Begin each morning, as I'm going to close here, I'm going to leave you some instructions here, okay? So each morning, I want you to begin with these three steps that Paul's given us. So number one here, we want to remember where we came from. See, we want to consider the person we were before we were saved, the futility of our thinking, and how desperately we needed a Savior, because there's no way we could earn or deserve it. So remember this, and you'll have a humble heart. Two, adjust your attitude. Think about how much Jesus loves us, how he paid for our salvation by dying on the cross for our sins. Remember that it is by the grace of God alone that we are saved. We should have grateful hearts and thankful attitudes, because a bad attitude shows no gratitude, but a thankful attitude displays Christ. Third thing, clothe yourselves in Christ. Recognize your identity as a new creation. Recognize your righteous position in Christ. And recognize your authority in Christ. This will give you the confidence and the boldness to discover your potential in Christ. So when you do this each morning, take some time, meditate on these things. And when you're finished, I want you to pray that God will pour his Spirit out on you and he will reveal his plan for your life, that you will be able to recognize his prompting. But it's up to you to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Let's give him a hand, shall we?
So a bad attitude displays gratitude, but a thankful attitude displays Christ. I think those are words to remember, words to live by.
No gratitude.
No gratitude. Thank you. Yes. You can tell it's not my sermon. It's his sermon, so that's good.
I did that the first two times I went through it, so it's all good.
I think that it would be a shame for us to leave this place this early, for starters, but also without responding a little bit to this. And so what I want you to do is I want to walk through each of these three steps real quick here. And so if you've got a piece of paper and a pen, whether it's from the seat back in front of you, or if you've got your phone here or a tablet or something like that, want to write it down, what I want you to do is just take a moment and let's remember where you came from. Who were you before you met Christ? Who were you before you entered this building this morning? Or if you're currently not serving Christ, who are you right now? What is going on in your life? And let's just take a moment. Let's write that down. Write down where you came from. If you grew up a follower of Jesus in a Christian home, just remember the growth that you've had. Think back 3-4 years and think of the things that you're going through, the things that you've been doing, and remember where you came from. Some of us were like three words and then done, and others I think are writing an essay right now, so we'll give a little time. Now think about how have you changed since what you wrote down? How have you changed? You don't have to write that part down. Just think about that. How have you changed? How has your attitude changed since that time? How has your view on life changed since you were where you came from? And then if you're here this morning and you have given your life to Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, then here's what I want you to do. And the OCD people in the room are going to be mad at me. I want you to put a big X through everything that you've written. And what I want you to write now is remember who you are. So you're going to write, I am a child of God. I am loved by God. I am saved. I am forgiven. Whatever it is, whatever God lays on your heart, remember who you are now in Christ. Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you, but the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes from a true relationship with their Creator. So, God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship. I'd love to help you with that, so if you made that decision today, please send me an email to pastor@abundantsprings.church. That's P-A-S-T-O-R at abundantsprings.church, and I'll be sure to follow up with you. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.